Greetings and love from the island of Catalina. Several months ago, 70 of us shared the Catalina experience. And then after that, several more heard it on tape. And we know now that for all of us, it was something very special. We started out with the idea of exploring life outside the parenthesis, learning how to live in the now, finding and being obedient to the divine will. And as the seminar progressed, we learned that in order to live in the divine will, it was necessary to find our permanent life, our undying life. And this then became the focus and purpose of all our work. In the 2 months that have elapsed since then, let us indicate that you have accepted that as your goal and the purpose of your life on earth, to find your permanent self and to live in it, to be. There's no question about the progress we've made, your dedication, and the vast possibilities that are waiting for us. Some of us have glimpsed the soul realm, and we feel, like Columbus, that we have discovered something unknown to the mind of man. A kingdom, right here on earth, of such magnitude, and such perfection, and such fullness, that it is inconceivable to human beings. And yet it is here, outside the realm of the mind, available only through the faculty called soul. And it is there that we are walking, learning how to be spiritual children, learning how to find that life which never dies. At the same time, while we have our mountain peaks, we also find the valleys, and we find those experiences where, for some reason that we cannot quite decipher, we cannot break through. We are overwhelmed by the things of this world. And we say to ourselves, what is my basic problem? What is stopping me? Please today recognize that what is stopping you is very normal. It is also so vast in its implications that it has been completely overlooked and unsuspected by mankind, even though it was taught by the Christ appearing in many forms on earth. Our problem, and our only problem, is sense hypnosis. And it is not an individual problem. It is a universal sense hypnosis. And even while we are struggling to find that I which is permanent and undying, sense hypnosis is presenting to us a me, which is temporary and very mortal. In order to find the permanent self, we find we must break the veil of sense hypnosis. We have infinite wave principles. We apply them. We have sincerity. we have some measure of intelligence, we have some measure of spiritual guidance, but always there is a certain door that refuses to open. And it is because we do not have the daring, the boldness, the courage to walk through that door. Today we're going to see what we must do to break sense hypnosis. And we're going to find our way by following an individual who did it. An individual who did not wait for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. An individual who didn't say, "I'm waiting for the second coming." Instead, he went right out, broke the veil of sense hypnosis, found his permanent self, and could then announce to the world, "I shall never die." And while doing it, he developed the healing consciousness to a level that is possible for you and for me. It is very doubtful that Paul had any advantages that you do not have. He certainly lived at a time when truth was unknown to the rank and file of mankind. There was as much unrest and ignorance then as now. There was as much poverty, as much fear, as much hate, as much violence. The world then and the world now might be comparable. But Paul did find another self. And furthermore, he proved it. And when he proved it, it was our good fortune that he left behind him certain codes, certain keys, certain statements that you and I can follow. Now, there's one that has never been explained to my knowledge, and yet it is the key to Christ consciousness. It is the key to the realization of oneness. It is the key to life eternal. It merely needs someone to find the key and turn it in the lock. And so let's you and I do this now. I want you to come with me to Acts chapter 20. And listen as I read to you the verses from 7 to 13. Listen for the key to Christ consciousness, because it will give you that step, that necessary step that you have not dared to take. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." His life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. They brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Paul has just raised a dead man. We want to know his secret. But Paul has left us his secret, because in that seventh verse we find the following words. "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. That's the first clue. Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That's the second clue. When we have the meaning of breaking bread and midnight, we break universal sense hypnosis. You already know what breaking bread means. You take one loaf, and it is the symbol of the infinite body of Christ, the infinite Son of God, the infinite spiritual body that is yours. And he breaks the bread and he gives it to each of the disciples, saying, "Here, this is my body," right? And so each one is to learn that this piece of bread he receives is only a symbol, saying, the body of God individualizes as your infinite invisible body. Each of us is the body of Christ invisible. We all are of the one body, the one loaf of bread. And this is a symbol of breaking bread. And Paul had to do this. Paul had to realize the one infinite body before he could heal the student who had fallen down from the third loft. And the clue as to how you recognize and realize and live in the one infinite body, which is the symbol of broken bread, is given by the word midnight. That one word suddenly becomes large in our spiritual vocabulary. And we begin to notice it in the Bible more and more, whereas before we had passed it by. Midnight is not a time on a clock. Midnight is a level of consciousness. When you are at the midnight consciousness, you are at a certain place. And you will find the importance of midnight repeated again and again once you begin to look for it and to keep the eye open. And once you begin to see it frequently, you begin to ask yourself, what is it saying? Where is midnight? What level is it? Why don't they say it openly? And only when you have the answer do you know why it was not said openly. Now remember then, at midnight, by making prayer until midnight, Paul was able to raise a dead boy. And by making prayer unto midnight, you too will be able to raise the dead. And that demonstration includes raising every form of evil on this earth into the rightful expression of its own perfection. It means every detail of your life can express the uninterrupted grace of spirit when you learn how to pray until midnight. Let's look now at Acts 22. Verse 6. Paul was always getting into trouble because he was always going out and talking about this great thing he had discovered. And in Jerusalem, he was really in trouble. The mob always wanted to stone him or hang him or do something to get rid of him. And now we find him in front of a castle in the square, and he has asked for an opportunity to explain his presence there to an angry mob. And in the course of it, he says these words, explaining his experience in Damascus. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. How peculiar that while being harassed by a mob, while literally fighting to save his life, he should say that I came to a certain place about noon. Why would he be so precise? Why would he mention the time when he came to Damascus and the light shone down upon him? Noon is the same as midnight. Midnight, 12 o'clock high. Noon, 12 o'clock in the mid-morning, between morning and afternoon. Always it's a midnight, midday. Before night breaks into the next day, before morning breaks into the afternoon, it's a point before division, before breaking, before separation. And in each case, it's the number 12, indicating that before separation, before division, there is fullness. That's what 12 signifies, the fullness of the spiritual realization, the fullness of the powers of God expressing in you. So midnight and noon are purposely given to us as the same key and repeated to show us it is the key. At noon, at 12 noon, the light shone through his consciousness in Damascus. And it is a significant word used there because that noon or midnight consciousness is what breaks the sense hypnosis. But still further, in 26 of Acts 13, here we find a repeat of the same thing. But now Paul has requested of Festus that he be granted an audience with King Agrippa, because he considers himself a Roman citizen, not subject to the whims and will of the mob, but rather he wants an audience under Roman law. And he's granted this audience. And so now he repeats to Agrippa the Damascus experience. And again, it's for his own life that he's begging. He's explaining who he is, what he is, what he stands for. And he says this: "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." For the same purpose, he says, at midday. So we have midday, noon, or midnight, all 12 o'clock, all a point before a breaking. And this is so emphasized that we begin to suspect an invisible code which can lead us to that which prevents our breaking away from the one consciousness of God. And if you will dwell on this for just a moment now, and let your own consciousness tell you what midnight means or midday means, you will see that the word begins to have a very special significance for you. You might think of it like the last note in an octave of music. You start at the beginning, and after seven notes, you come back to the first note. And the first note is the same as the last note. The beginning and the end are one and the same. Also, the last note is the beginning of the next octave, so that you have seven notes and then a note which completes one octave. But that note which completes the first octave is also the beginning of the next octave. You might say it joins the two together. And if you do not leave that last note and proceed into the second octave, you are standing in between two octaves, joined together by one note. That is midnight. Midnight, on the cosmic scale, is the period of rest which joins together your spiritual selfhood and that material, visible expression which you call your human self. They are joined together at midnight. So he prayed until midnight. But if you go past, if you step out of that last note of the octave, if you step out of midnight into the next day, and they are not joined together anymore but separated, you move into humanhood. So midnight means returning to that point of consciousness before you step into humanhood. Or more precisely, returning to the consciousness you had before human birth. Paul was in the consciousness he had before human birth. That consciousness is the midnight level. That consciousness is the awareness of spiritual selfhood. That is the consciousness which is called the now consciousness. Not the self that wandered into human form and into time. That is not I am. That is the false sense of self. That is the self that was born of woman. But you must return to that self which existed before the form was born of woman. And that self is the midnight consciousness. That self is the only self that can break sense hypnosis. The universal hypnosis of the senses in which man is enslaved is a mental prison. Engulfing every single individual on the face of the earth. And the only escape from this mental prison is to return to the consciousness you had before human birth, which Paul had done. The power of that consciousness is one of the great hidden secrets of the Bible. It was in that consciousness that the great miracles of the Bible took place, whether they came through Abram or Moses or Paul or Jesus Christ. And it was always that consciousness functioning through an individual which was the expression of Christ. We have seen that Jesus was once on a mountain, and then he became aware of his disciples in trouble on the sea, and they saw him walking on the water, and then they saw him rebuke the winds and the waves, and when he stepped upon that ship, it was instantly upon the shore, and then soon thereafter, when the ship left with the disciples, Jesus was not upon it. But neither was he where the ship had arrived earlier. They found him in another city, and no one could figure how he got there. And that complete experience from mountaintop, walking on water, rebuking the winds, leading the ship instantly to shore, and then disappearing into another city, was all an expression of Christ consciousness. It was an expression of a consciousness that exists on earth today beyond the receptivity of our sense faculties, but is a consciousness which surrounds us, and it is called the Christ power. We have always mainly associated it with Jesus, and that has been a religious error. That Christ power which functioned through Jesus and demonstrated the so-called miracles was demonstrating the invisible kingdom of God on earth. And that Christ power is the same power that functioned enabling Paul to heal the boy who fell from the loft. And that Christ power functioned through Jesus Christ, through Paul, through Peter, through Abram, through Moses, through Joel Goldsmith, through some of the students of Joel Goldsmith, through students of Buddha and Lao Tzu. And that Christ power is present now in the midnight level of consciousness, calling all those to glory who can hear the word. It says to you, when you come back out of the form consciousness, which was born of woman, and find the self of you that was never born of woman, you will be in the midnight consciousness, the healing consciousness, the eternal life consciousness, and you will find that the world hypnosis has no power over you. In Genesis, well, before we go back to Genesis, let's look at something more recent. Let's look at the 10 virgins, which are recorded in the book of Matthew. I think that's chapter 25. It starts right out with the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 who trimmed the lamps, the 5 who didn't. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But listen what it says in the 6th verse of chapter 25 in Matthew. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And then in the 10th verse it says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Well, when the door is shut, it means if you weren't ready, if you weren't at the midnight level when the bridegroom comes, there's no way to enter again, because the only way to enter is when the bridegroom comes, and the bridegroom comes at midnight, meaning what we have just learned. When you are in the consciousness that I was never born, when you have entered into the awareness of your permanent self, which was never born, when you have accepted that as a truth, that you have a never-born self, and when you are willing to abide in your never-born self, the bridegroom comes. And then you go into the marriage. The bridegroom is Christ. But you see what that means? Christ is born in you. When you are willing to step out of the self born of woman, you have been trying to break sense hypnosis with your human mind and you cannot do it. Try as you will, it will not work. Only Christ can break sense hypnosis. And Christ cannot be born in you when you are still that self which is born of woman. And that's the step you haven't dared to take. You haven't dared to stop living in the self that was born of woman. You haven't dared to return to midnight. You haven't dared to return to that point of rest between your infinite spiritual self and the expression of your visible, physical, material self. You haven't stood in the midway point between the invisible and the visible, between heaven and earth, between eternity and time, between infinity and space, between spirit and matter, between divinity and mortality. Mortality cannot break sense hypnosis. Universal sense hypnosis is only broken when the bridegroom comes. And then the 5 human senses have no power whatsoever to veil the kingdom of God. Your never-born self is present. It is the only begotten of the Father. You have been seeking Christ. You have been saying, I am the Christ. You have been wanting to find your own true Christhood. But no mortal can find it. In order for one to be born, one must die. Your unborn self can only come as your consciousness when your born self is rejected. The greater works do not come to the born self. The midnight miracle worker who functions through Paul, through Jesus, through Joel, through all those who have been willing to step out of mortality. And the only one who can heal in this entire universe is your never-born present self. If you want to see what your never-born self can do, come now back to Genesis. We'll go to the 20th chapter, I think. Well, first make it the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of Genesis. And here we have Abram. And he's going to demonstrate to you something that we had passed by because we had no way then of understanding it. And when Abram... I'm in the 14th chapter and beginning with the 14th verse of Genesis. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. It's strange he had 318 servants, isn't it, who were born in his own house. But if you add 3, 1, and 8, you get 12, don't you? Again, that's the symbol of midnight, the midnight consciousness, the fullness of God. And so they really weren't talking about servants, they were talking about his consciousness. Abraham had found his never-born self. That's what it's saying in code. He had found the level of consciousness called the midnight level, which means he had realized his spiritual selfhood, which was never born of woman. He had accepted that he was not Abraham, the person, the form, the body, the mortal, the flesh and blood. That was an image in mind. He accepted that he was the self that was never born, which is the self that can never die. And that means that when he armed 318 servants, he merely accepted that he was the never born self, which has no beginning and no ending in time, which is pure spirit, perfect now as the Father, and ever present where you stand. That's all Abram did, was to know this. And then he divided himself again unto them, against them, he and his servants, by night, which by now you know means by midnight. and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. He was victorious because he had broken universal sense hypnotism in the consciousness of his never-born self. The false powers of the world yielded, and the uninterrupted grace that is ever present manifested itself as his brother and the people all brought back safely. That is the power of your never-born self. We see it again and again and again once we have been awakened to it. I'm going to go, instead of to 20 Genesis, I'm going to go to Exodus. Exodus 11. This time it's Moses. In the fourth verse, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. It isn't midnight just accidentally. And it isn't midnight on a Big Ben clock. It's midnight in the consciousness of Moses, who has found that undivided one self, which was never born of woman. He is not being a prodigal, wandering out of spirit into matter, wandering out into the false light of physical world, but remaining in the midnight of spiritual identity without wavering. And so the spirit of Moses, the never-born self of Moses, which is omnipresent, which covers all that we call time and space, slays the Egyptians. Egyptians always standing for the thoughts of the sense mind. And so in Exodus 12, we could look at 12:12. I think we could start there. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, meaning this midnight, in this new wonderful consciousness of the never-born self, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. In your consciousness that you are the never-born self, not the physical self, the Spirit of God, omnipotent, functions its power through you. In such a way, as we see in the same chapter, 28 verse of 12 chapter, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded. Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, under the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. You've been trying to break sense hypnotism, and this is the way. Now let's look a little more closely at our dear friend Paul. We still really haven't come to his great secret. But he gave us his secret. He gave it to us in words that were loud and definite, and we looked at those words, and in our human grossness, we simply refused to take them to heart. He said, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. And if you compare that to the statement made by Jesus, you'll find they're the same statement. Jesus didn't say, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. But that was the truth, wasn't it? Jesus could have said that. It was true. Instead of saying that, however, he said, Thou seest me. Thou seest the Father that sent me. Now, both statements are identical. Paul could have said that. Paul could have said, Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. They were both saying that I am not Paul, I am not Jesus. You see Paul, you see Jesus. But what is here is the Father that sent me. And what is living this life is not Jesus, but Christ. What is living this life is not Paul, but Christ. Now, you know, Jesus was born of the Father. And Paul is telling you that he too was born of the Father. Paul was telling you that, like Jesus, he knew that he had never been born in a physical womb. He had accepted birth spiritually. He had found his spiritual self. He had rejected all physical birth. He knew that physical birth is an illusion of the sense mind. It is the one great illusion of sense hypnotism, the belief in physical birth. He had discovered the supreme illusion is physical birth. He had accepted that there is only one womb, one spiritual womb. And that we all come out of that. And he had accepted that because he was born of spirit, not of the flesh, because he was the child of God, because he was the Christ of God, that he was not Paul. There was no such person. He knew that he had never been born physically. He dared to take that step. And he even told us that. Christ liveth my life. Now, Christ doesn't live the life of a human being. Christ lives the life of Christ. And he told us, I am absent from the body, present with the Lord. He not only said that he wasn't born, he said he didn't have a body. He was absent from it. He said, there is no Paul here. There is no Paul self, and there is no Paul body here. You may see one, but that's your problem, not mine. You see, Paul never walked this earth in a body after Damascus. Up to Damascus, he thought he had a body. After Damascus, there was no Paul body in his consciousness, although the world saw one. just as the world saw Jesus in a body, although there was no Jesus body there. There was only the invisible Christ appearing to human senses, Paul, or the invisible Christ appearing to human senses, Jesus. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. That was one of Paul's greatest secrets. Paul was not there. Christ was. And that means the body of Paul wasn't there. The body of Christ was there. Paul had found his never-born self. That was the very backbone of his teaching and his demonstration. Paul was never born. He knew that this is God's universe, and that God is spirit, and that God is all. And if God is all, who is born? He accepted omnipresent spirit. One spiritual womb. No reality in physical birth. Physical birth was an illusion of the sense mind. I, Paul, am that I am, that spirit, that never-beginning and never-ending self that was never born. And so Paul was reborn of the Spirit. And then he went further. He was not only absent from the body, because the body was never born, but he knew too that because the body wasn't born, the senses of the body were never born. If a body is not born, how can the senses of that body be born? They must be as illusory as the body itself. So Paul was also absent from the senses of the body. In other words, he gave no power to his senses. He knew that the senses had to lie, that no matter what they would see, it would not be the spirit. He knew that everything the senses see is a lie in this world, without exception. He knew this. It was a situation that you don't try to change. You let the senses do what they are doing because you can't stop them. But you do not believe what they are doing. If you are in the human mind, you do. But the moment you accept yourself to be the never-born self called spirit, then that acceptance is not complete if you believe what the senses are saying. If the senses say there's a person, there's a thing, there's an event, there's an action, you say, how can that be? There are no senses. The senses were never born. The senses are not born of God. It is the nature of human senses to tell the untruth about God. The senses must lie. That is the nature of them. And it is my function to know that is their nature and not to accept the evidence of the senses under any condition. That is transcending the senses. And when you can, let the senses do their thing while you are standing in the awareness that the senses are not telling the truth, but are accepting the invisible perfection of God functioning where the senses say just the opposite. You are accepting yourself to be the invisible spirit. Paul had learned that technique. He knew that everything we see in this world is an image of the senses. That he had never seen a person, he had seen a sense image which the mind calls person. He had never seen the day, he had seen an image which the mind, the sense mind calls the day. He had never seen good, he had never seen evil, He had never seen anything in this world that was real or true. Only his images in mind. That is what he had seen, and that is what he no longer accepted. It was in this knowledge that he developed the healing consciousness to walk in the path of Christ. Now, you and I today are going to look more closely at this healing consciousness of Paul's. And we're going to find that he was practicing the same principles that we are practicing in the infinite way. And although he did not in print or in words specifically say that he was not standing in form and that he was never born, he left us the words like midnight and midday and noon as a clue to let us know, if we had spiritual ears to hear, that that is the consciousness in which he stood, which enabled him to carry forth the work of the Father and to be one of the most potent instruments of the Christ that ever walked this earth. I say to you, that consciousness of Paul is present, and that consciousness of Jesus is present, that consciousness of Joel is present, and that consciousness, which is the Christ, is present where you stand as your never-born self, waiting even now for you to step out of the belief that you were born and to accept the self that you are, which never emerged from the womb of flesh. Let us be still with that thought a moment. My never-born self is present. Please accept that within yourself. My never-born self is present. It contains everything that God has. You accept it, and you learn to live it, and it in turn expresses all that God has as your life. We'll pause a moment now, and when we return, bring with you your consciousness, which is the midnight level, the you that never entered into physical form, the you that is one with the infinite, never born, never dying, your only self. And then you too will find possibilities undreamed of on this earth.